You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
You know, the more I see myself on camera, the less hair I'm getting.
Yeah.
I'm like that hairless cat that we had on the show.
We can put AI in.
You know, Peter, yeah. when Peter was taking the pictures of our staff pictures and for our website, he took my picture. And then he, on his own liberty,
yeah.
Decided to add a little more hair to mine.
Oh,
it looked really bad. No, it was terrible looking. It was one of those things that was better. It's better bald than that.
Better left unsaid.
Better left.
Your health is your wealth.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't worry about
show that. Number 164.
Hi.
Here we are today. This show is going to be our last show on America's Web Radio. It's been a nice 3-year run. And as we said in the show last couple of weeks, we're going to focus more on the YouTube and the video side of it,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. And so we appreciate everything that they did for us.
And if you listen on AWR, yeah. America's Web Radio, you can now go over to any podcast carrier and catch the show there.
Or YouTube as well, too.
List of them.
Yeah,
YouTube. That's where we want you to go. Go to YouTube, turn it on, do your work, have the sound in the background, enjoy the show. And occasionally we'll show the cars.
Yeah. And right. we'll show cars and it's cool because, you know, so many things we talk about are visual and it's kind of hard to describe, you know, the color blue to somebody.
But sometimes you just can't. So if you need to go to a podcast site, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it's also
iHeartRadio,
probably the biggest one, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and then other places, like they say, wherever you get your podcast.
Yes. So we started this
3 years, about 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah. So it's hard to believe that we're still here.
Yeah.
Glad we are.
Yeah.
And I only didn't make it one time.
That's right.
Because of the snowstorm.
Yeah.
And I was on my way and you called and said, we're not doing a show today. And I turned around in my Subaru, by the way.
And yeah, which is not designed for snow or anything like that.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah.
I would have made it for the show.
Yeah. Baby.
You know,
knock on wood, been healthy.
Thanks to the Pat Travers Band. And, we appreciate them. And I think I did see they're out on tour again. So I think that,
in December in California, Agoura Hills and somewhere else near there and another one.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, go check them out and tell them you heard about them on the Classic Auto Mall.
They'll be like, wow, yeah, I've been there.
So
Pat'll
cool.
go, yeah.
They're like, we're not getting paid for that? What the? So, Pat, you're getting paid in kindness and doing a good deed.
And promotion.
And promotion. And we're promoting you. Promote. That's what we do. We promote.
What right. year was that song?
1980.
Oh, in the 80s?
Yeah, okay. 80, probably 5 or no, probably even before that, like 1982 or 83.
Okay, all right. So. I thought it was older than that.
Offbeat Ride is the name of
it. Yep,
got it.
Offbeat Ride.
Mm-hmm.
The ride is a cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Listen gotcha.
To my music
yeah.
chops.
Very car related.
Very car related.
But the beat sounds very regular, so
yeah.
I don't know why.
And don't forget, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter yet either, we send a newsletter once a month. We've got over 50,000 or almost. Mm-hmm. Not over, but quite right at 50,000 email addresses on
wow.
our mailing list.
That's something.
And it really is. It's hard to grow that because people fall off for whatever
sure.
reason or email addresses become invalid for whatever reason.
Stale.
Or scams mm-hmm. or spam or whatever. But it's pretty amazing. And we only send a newsletter once a month. And that is the newsletter sign up or the giving your email address at the, when you come into our building is your admission charge. Instead of us charging you $10 or $20 to come in, which would be a reasonable amount of money to come see. How many cars do we have in inventory right now?
982.
How about 998?
Wow.
Two away from 1,000. So we're almost back to that precipice.
And there's two on the way. There's two on the way today.
There's
or
actually,
one and a half.
There's actually two on the way. And then there's 3 truckloads coming.
Yes,
out
I heard.
Another area.
Oh, my goodness.
Peter. Get in the batter's box. Start warming up.
Yeah, steady as she goes, Peter. Don't go off to a place that doesn't have cell service or
right.
internet connection. So But yeah, we've got, the inventory is growing. And of course, it's this time of year. This is our busiest time for new inventory because of Hershey and Carlisle and all the events that we do that lead up to it. And all these events that we do are in fact to, they're not to, we don't go to these events like Hershey to sell a car, even though we take 12 cars. And if we sell a car, we're not going to say no, but we go there to get consignment. That's to let people know what our process is, how it works, how we do business. And when we tell them that at these events, and then we get all these consignments coming in, and then they all hit it once.
Yeah.
And then we go, one day last week or 2 weeks ago, I think we took in 14 in one day.
Yeah, so, nine yesterday.
Nine yesterday.
But that's why.
But who's counting, right?
That's why you consign it at Classic Auto Mall, because that's what we're doing. That's not cheap to go to those shows and take our trailer and all the stuff that's involved.
And pay to be a sponsor and all those things, which we love to do because it's giving back to the hobby. Most of these events that we do have a charity base to them, or a charity theme to them, if you will.
Yeah.
And they are all the proceeds or, you know, anything over the expenses go to, and people, I mean, listen, they volunteer their time for all these. If you go to any Concours d'Elegance or any car show or any, most everybody you see working, not most everybody, almost everybody is on their own dime there.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the judges that go to the Concours d'Elegances pay their own airfare. They pay their own hotel. They pay most of their meals, unless there's a luncheon or a dinner or something that they're invited to with the Concours. But they pay it all out of their own pocket.
Yep.
But the money goes to charity.
Yeah.
So it's a good deed. It's a good way to give back. And it's a lot of fun, you know, to be a judge and that prestige and wear that navy blazer with the straw hat.
Absolutely. It's very cool.
And a clipboard. And
so they probably pay for the MC. And porta potties.
And well, yes, they're not free. But a lot of these companies will donate their services in kind. Like in Boyertown, I know that when we do our annual volunteer dinner, which is coming up tomorrow night, the catering company donates all the food and for the
nice,
you know, because it's a not for profit.
Sure.
And what a cool thing. So.
Beautiful.
But and same with Radnor Hunt, and same with all the other con. Now there are some for profit Concours d'Elegance is out there, and that's okay. I mean, that's all right, as long as you're, you know, upfront about it and not, you know, we always worry that people will say that something is not for profit when it is for profit, and you just don't want to mislead people when you do that. And it's fine to be for profit, just as long as it's, you know, out there and
sure,
and made public to
absolutely.
So we love being involved in those things, and it's a good way to connect with our consigners and buyers and car hobbyists in general. You know, I mean, you know, when you go to Hershey or you go to the Philly Auto Show, I mean, how many people do you talk to in a day? They're just car people, and it's just all day long.
It's amazing.
I can't imagine if you added up every car event that was going on in every church parking lot and every, you know, Walmart super
every cruise
center,
night,
every cruise night, cars and coffees.
Yeah.
I mean, and it used to be you could almost count them on one hand how many events there were. I mean, there was some big events that were around, and then there are a few churches had a kind of a church parking lot car show, if you will. And that was about it. There wasn't a whole lot.
I wonder if some of it is like sort of the end of a generation. Like they're like, this is our last. I hate to sound morbid, but this is like, it's an older crowd. Mostly it's some of these car shows. What's it going to look like in 20 years? In other words,
I think that the car show model of a husband and wife bringing their car, putting up the little sign in front of it, getting their two folding chairs, their little cooler as their table,
right?
Little umbrella so they don't get completely knocked out by the sun. I think that's going by the wayside, and that's been the success of Cars and Coffee, because Cars and Coffee are basically about a 2.5 hour car show, and there's no time limit. You can come and go as you please. So when you go to a car show that's a car show proper, you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. You don't leave till the end of the show at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think that the attention span of people is changing from that. And although we had 700 and something people at Cars for Casey last
weekend.
So, I mean, maybe that's completely out the window.
Well, I mean, for the younger generation, it's tough to sit for 8 hours in a day. That's why Cars and Coffee is, like, when I go to the one, and there's one in Ambler, I feel old.
Yeah.
And I'm not that old. And I'm like, I could be these kids' grandfather, you know.
You're pretty old.
I was visiting my sister in Northwest Indiana, and there was a car show in a Walmart parking lot or something. So I'm going to go check it out. And it was probably 25% what we would call classic car.
Right.
It was a lot of tuners and stuff. So there were younger people into it showing different things or impressed by different things,
sure.
but they were still showing off their cars.
Well, lots of late model Camaros and Corvettes you see at these shows that are more, you know, a lot of people have realized that, you know, some of these old cars are, you know, some of, a lot of them are temperamental and they
really?
Don't,
yeah, they, I can't imagine.
They don't always do what they're supposed to do, but you know, you get a 2008 or nine Corvette, they're reasonably priced, got a lot of performance for the value and they're reasonably, reliable.
Yes.
But the mistake that people make a lot of times, and I'll say this in an article that we've got coming up in the next couple of shows. You know, why does my, you know, if people forget, they look at a 2002 Corvette, let's say. That is now 23 model years old.
Yep.
And it's almost an antique car in most states or, you know, a collectible classic. Car, a classic, which is 25 years. That's a 2002 Corvette. But you look at it, you go, oh, that looks like a brand new car. Because it, in essence, does. I mean, yes, it doesn't look like the brand new Corvettes that are out there because those things look like, I don't know what they look like. They look like everything else, I guess. They look like a Ferrari. It's hard to tell the difference between a Ferrari and McLaren and even a Corvette. When they go down the road, you do a double take to try to go, is that a, what, was that a McLaren? Oh, that was a Corvette. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's true. Like from the 2000s on, cars are designed almost like futuristically.
Yeah, they look
like they still look good.
They still look new.
Porsches and Corvettes and all that still
look. My 2006 Mercedes still looks like a brand new car. People think it's, you know,
exactly.
What year is that? Is that a 2020? And I go, no, it's a 2006.
I think once we got past the jelly bean car shape of the old Tauruses of the 80s, I think, you know, all of a sudden more design got back into them.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, because it's got to factor in aerodynamics. People wonder why all cars look the same. It's because every engineer went to the same school and with the same objective. I've got to get 0.28 coefficient of drag and it's got to get 38 miles per gallon and it's got to do this. But look what, I mean, what's amazing what the engineers and the manufacturers have done is they've not only met all these stipulations and maybe made up guidelines, if you will.
Yeah.
They've exceeded them. They got 1,200 horsepower McLarens and 1,500 horsepower this. And we all thought that was never going to happen again because they'll never meet the mileage requirements.
Right.
And now the super, excuse me. Hello. The supercars now, they're, you know, they're 350 of their 1,200 horsepower is hybrid or is battery.
Yeah, right.
Well, and the design too, like the, I remember saying about the Ford Contour. I can't imagine the Ford guy that saw that coming off the line when it was brand new built and going, what a good looking
what
car.
What a nice looking
car. However, the SVT version of that was pretty cool.
It was kind
of
cool.
And remember Ford designed the Probe, which remember how revolutionary that was at the time?
An amazing
because
car.
It was a wedge and it was like, wow.
And then the SHO Taurus, which was a Yamaha engine that they had in it. And that was, but if you look back at the Taurus, they didn't age well. There's a lot of cars that did age well and that's not one of them. It looks boxy and I don't know. It just doesn't look right.
Yep.
So
one of the first cars.
As my grandmother said, it had the peculiars.
And they had a newer shape in 2000, but it didn't last.
Right. So what were you saying?
I was going to say I think the Taurus was the first car with flush headlights.
Right.
To the body.
Right. Yeah.
Back in 89, 90.
And those ones that you have to sand now.
I had a 93 show and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Until it broke down.
And then it was a pilot.
And then it was, right.
It was great. When we return, we'll continue our conversation at the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio. We'll catch you in a couple of minutes.
This is the show from the week we say goodbye and thanks to America's Web Radio for 3 years of broadcasting. But remember, you can still find the Classic Auto Mall on YouTube at Classic Auto Mall and wherever you get your podcasts, including... Wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Deezer, Listen Notes, Pandora, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Index, Podchaser, Spotify, and of course, ClassicAutoMall.com.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DELAPP. Thank you.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider, for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall studio, or the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio. God, you know, some days I'm really not.
It's
here.
Monday.
It's not Monday.
It's not.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesdays always feel like Mondays to me because I got to get up early.
Got to drive all the way down.
Got to drive all the way down.
And, yeah. So, you know, we wrote an article, or I wrote an article, about 6 months ago or a year ago. And we're starting to, I was writing these for the AACA Speedster, which is their monthly newsletter. And I wrote about 10 of these articles, and then I dropped off. I have lots of ideas for new articles, but I just haven't done them yet. So, but we'll go through the old ones and kind of catch up with these, and then maybe I'll get better at writing some new ones. And these are just guidelines in the hobby, things to look out for, pitfalls in the hobby, things when you're buying a car to look for, myths. Mm-hmm. That's what we'll talk about today. The Model A is dead. And other myths.
Ooh.
I like it.
And I didn't get to mention earlier, you mentioned the newsletter, how nice it looks. It really does good. And your contributions and everything else, it's good. It's,
contributions. It's, he does the whole thing.
It's, well, Randy's helping.
Oh, is it Randy?
Yeah, Randy's helping a little bit now.
Shout out to Randy.
But it's
Randy.
Great. It's a great read.
His is more operational. Mine is more creative. So, sorry, Randy. I didn't really mean to throw you under the bus. You've lied to all your friends and said you're the creator of the newsletter.
Whoever creates it, it's good
stuff. Yeah, by golly, it's good stuff. And it's only once a month. We only send,
it's brief.
Unless we have, you know, literally, if we have some kind of, you know, specialty something event going on, then we might send you more. We might send you two in a month. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I get emails from companies. I get and 10 a day about stuff that it's one of those things that there's certain ones that you get that you don't want to unsubscribe to because they're on the off chance that maybe there might be something a week from now or year from now that I didn't want to miss.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of don't forget to make your payment. Is that a problem for me?
Yeah. Might want to not ignore those. I get Harbor Freight every day and I don't want to get rid of it because every once in a while.
Yeah,
it might
be something cool there that you go, oh, hey, wait a minute now.
I need that.
Yeah, I need that. I really need that rolling generator that, you know, runs on vegetable oil. So the Model A is dead and other myths. That's our article for the month. We'll do these once a month on the first show every month and the second show of every month. This is our little, we're getting into formatting here.
Nice.
We're going to start doing the movie of the month.
Movie of the month.
Yeah. Cause we'll get back to that. Cause we did a bunch.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we kind of fell.
Well, warn me ahead of time and I'll try to watch them.
I will. I'll do our best. And if you had to pay $3.99 to Amazon, you can turn it in as an expense.
Oh, okay.
Kathy, did you hear that? So when we start getting, well, it's like when you used to stay in hotels on the company card, and then there was movies on there that you watched.
Interesting.
You weren't really supposed to be watching. They were like $29.
Look out.
And everybody that watched them said, I never turned that on. They would argue with the people at the front desk. I never turned that movie on. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, they hear that all the time.
Yeah. You know, they're like, okay, yeah, sir, whatever. Right. You didn't also put the quarter in for the fingers either.
Right. So a little tease. Why did the Model T, why is it not?
Oh,
dead?
The Model A is dead. Another
Model A.
Well, so this was the thing that started, for at least 20 years or even longer than that. Those of us in the classic car business have predicted the demise of the Model A. There's no way it's going to continue on. It's old fashioned. It's antique. It's everything. It's black. Usually it's dusty. It's dirty. It's slow. It's kind of weird to operate. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, they don't go very fast. So, you know, as the younger generation takes over the hobby, there's no way that the Model A's are going to still sell. I remember in 2001 when I was at eBay Cruise in Indiana, we would talk frequently about the prices of Duesenbergs dropping down to almost $300,000 to $400,000 when they had been like a million, and then they got down to $300,000 or $400,000, and we said, I mean, a significant drop. And we figured, well, if that's the case, the Model A is not far behind on its last legs. There's no way that these Model A's are just going to continue to sell. But all these pre-war cars were out of favor with the consumer, and no way would there be a market. While the prices have gone down since then, the Model A continues to sell well. And Duesenbergs, well, they're trading in $2 and $3 and $4 million mm-hmm. now. Yep. So we thought they'd go away. And what's even more interesting is the Model A replica, which is the most, arguably one of the most prevalent ones, is the Shay, S-H-A-Y. We can't keep those when they come into stock. We got one in a couple of days ago, and a guy's already inquiring about it. And we haven't even taken pictures or written a description, which I know is music to your ears. Because if we don't have to do any of that, then your job is a lot easier.
Saves everybody a lot of work.
Just sell it before it gets off the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll take that one coming off the trailer.
I saw a 68 Charger today on the trailer. I'm like,
it's a Hemi.
And it's a Hemi.
And it's a real Hemi.
Yeah.
And it's an estate car that we just took in. We got a nice collection of about 18 cars from an estate.
Yeah. Speaking of trailers.
Speaking of trailers and all that. And I've really diverged from the Model A story. But here's the thing about Model A's. Consumers continued to connect with the Model A. If you want the challenge and the feel and the, and, you know, you can take all the negatives that I just said. They're not fast. They're kind of weird to work. And turn those into a positive. They are the epitome of what an antique car should be. So if you want that visceral experience of an antique automobile, then a Model A is great. And the reason you don't say Model T, which was before that, is because they're just weirdly complicated for no particular reason. They're like the, you know, overcomplicated, stupid pedals don't make sense. You got to put the lime in the coconut.
Call me a degree in engineering.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Well, they just made it to run. And
It's like, they don't like me either. I try to start those things, and I know the process, and I know how to do it, so don't send me letters telling me I'm stupid, because I don't need to be told that. But
if you do, podcast at classicautomall.com. Yeah,
and you can tell me how stupid I am. But I just, for some reason, Model T's and I don't get along very well. And but Model A's are still, you know, a little tricky. You got the little choke and the twisty dial and this and that and all the different things. But the cool thing is they're easy to work on, right? So
everything's accessible.
And parts are plentiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, to this day, there are still plenty of places you can buy Model A Ford parts, because they made millions of Model A's. So, you know, and when you see them listed for sale, they don't generally, like I said, of the Shays, which are the replicas, they don't last for long. And of course, it's the ease of operation compared to the Model T is, like I said, it's light years different. Mm-hmm. And they're a 3-speed manual transmission and a 4-cylinder engine. Literally, if you drove one into the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere and just left it for about 20 years, came back out, squirted a little oil in it, put some fresh gas in it, put a fresh battery to it, it'd probably start.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, try that on your modern car. Leave your Corvette out for 20 years, the 2020 or 2002 Corvette.
Right.
You know, then there were so many body styles. There's the pickup and the, I mean, they had to be a little bit of everything to everybody. There was roadster two-seaters. There was four-seater tourings. There was pickup trucks. There was, huckster trucks. There was just
everything
you can imagine. Yep. There was probably over 20 different styles, not including the commercial variants. They made over 4.8 million in the 4-year run from 28 to 31.
Amazing.
4.8.
That's million. Crazy.
You know, do the math on that.
Mm-hmm.
Times $400 or what they cost, or $300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in that time.
And, you know, and then like talking about the Shay, if you want something with a little even more reliability, the Shay, the Model A replica, the Shay uses a Pinto 4-cylinder and a 3 or 4-speed automatic transmission. They're fiberglass.
Mm.
And they are, you know, they build about 5,000 of them, and they're still available out there. So. But, you know, what makes a Model A still relevant? They're fun to drive, great entry point into the hobby, especially if pre-war vehicles are your thing. They look like an older antique car. Nothing better than seeing a Model A Ford loaded with family at a local parade in any town, USA. They're just cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
And for the other myths, we'll address those in a future article. I just didn't know what to call it if I didn't say "and other myths." The Model A is dead and no other myths.
Yeah.
It really didn't flow.
Right, right. So, sounds better.
No other myth. So I'm going to have to come up with some other myths.
Well, it keeps you on the edge, like you're, you know, waiting for more.
Myths, I feel like I'm Mike Tyson. It's the myths, I'm telling you.
Yeah, the myth. Excuse me, myth.
Myth. Hit and a myth. So where did we sell cars this week?
Where?
Ah, wait. Glad you should ask. At Glen, Pennsylvania. Nottingham, Sherwood Florist? No, Nottingham, Pennsylvania. Lucydale, Mississippi, or Loosedale. Pittman, Pennsylvania. Hellam, Pennsylvania. Narrows, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Vineland, New Jersey. Lodi, California.
Oh, oh yes.
Lodi.
Edgewater, New Jersey. Kings Park, New York. Reading, Pennsylvania.
Hey.
And Fabio, New York. No, Fabius. F-A-B-I-U-S.
I had to look up Acklen. I never heard of it.
Acklen?
Yeah, it's in Acklen, Pennsylvania.
Oh, at Glen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Chester, southern Chester County.
Yeah, yeah, and isn't the other one Elon?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hmm. No. Which one? Which one? Hellam? H-E-L-L-A-M?
I thought you had an E there.
No.
Lucydale.
Anyway.
So.
Nice.
Anywho.
I don't know. The mushrooms have kicked in.
God, don't let the medication get a hold of you. You're supposed to take it exactly at timing so it doesn't kick in.
With until food. Right after with
the
show, food.
Till right after the show. 1 minute after the show, it's that creeper. So we'll continue those articles like the Model A is dead, and we'll do those as we continue the show. You know, you sent me, Steve, a interesting sales brochure from 1970, and I had forgotten to look at it. But hold on.
Here, I'll play some music.
This is the Mustang from 1970 brochure, and this thing is hilarious. Talk about dosage.
Yeah.
These guys were. So the 1970 Mustang, the first picture or the first wording that you see on it is like it hot, like it cool, ooh, like it quick, like it slick, like it rich. What you need is a Mustang.
Hey, nah.
They had free reign.
They had free reign, baby.
Good pictures.
Hubert Bailey, the accountant, couldn't keep his figures balanced. He got a Mach 1, and figures are no longer
problem. Well.
And there's a picture of him and a girl, a shapely girl.
And right? A yellow
ring. I love it.
How about
free love? It's 1970. Yeah. Remember, people don't get offended.
Sexist.
Carol Edmonston had a B.A., M.A., and Ph.D., but really wanted her MRS. Oh, since wow. She bought Mustang, she can't decide between Mr. B.A., Mr. M.A., or the Ph.D. Oh. And there's three guys in tuxedos standing behind around her.
That's awesome.
In her 70 Mustang with a sport roof.
That's right.
Ah, the old stereotypical days.
Yeah, and the upper-class grande interior makes her feel like a VIP. This is all in one.
I remember the grande.
The grande. Yeah. It had that insert of, mm-hmm, like, vinyl seats on the side and cloth in the center.
And looking like burled walnut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mark Mussino's coaching career was a big zero until he bought his Mustang sport roof. Now it's a whole new ball game. Yeah. He's surrounded by
a this one's a little weird. Room. Yeah.
It looks like he looks like kind of like Sterling Moss there.
He's older gentleman and he's surrounded by cheerleaders.
Patch of hair. The coolest one, the Ford ad that I always liked is the guy sitting next to the Lincoln Mark III with the aviator glasses on. He had the leather jacket, kind of half balding. He was the cool guy there. That poster is
the print ad. Yeah.
The hallway in my office. So the other was there any more on that? So with Dave and Donna Durish, it was always mine and yours. Now they both drive Mustangs, and it's his and hers.
But does it get into gas mileage in there?
No, it doesn't, because nobody cared back then. Right. Not quite then. 70
gas was cheap. They weren't still
worried.
Cheap. Yeah,
they weren't worried about it then.
It's just it's a great piece of cultural. Culture.
I have a 1960 Falcon brochure.
There you go. How about this one? And then the last page, Mustang's the one! Exclamation. Designed to be designed by you. Designed to be
designed by you. Designed by that's you. Real good, actually.
I like that. That's really very clever. Mm-hmm. And then that's it.
And then it's technical stuff.
Yeah. And it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different engine options.
Wow.
Can you imagine in today's world if you had 9 engine options on the Explorer?
Yeah, no, that's
cool. Don't have that. Plus, they'd laugh at you. They wouldn't even build it. So when we return, I see I'm a little late here.
That's all right.
When we return, we'll continue with the Classic Auto Mall show in just a couple of minutes. See you then.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, You can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
By the way, if those of you don't realize, this is a car show, but we've been talking music. In the studio with us, Obie O'Brien, who has done a lot of work with Jon Bon Jovi. Obie is a car guy, too, and has been for a long time. There's a picture of you and Bon Jovi on the cover of...
We were together on Rod and Custom.
Talking to our special guest of the day, Scott Pruitt.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Mark Lieberman, Tucker Whiz Guru. Is that fair?
I'll go with that. Sure.
Corky Coker. How are you this morning, Corky?
I'm great. How are you, brother?
Brock Yates. Junior, how are you, sir?
From somewhere in North Carolina, Ray Evernham. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
John Clore with the Ford Motor Company.
This is a great honor.
Her name is Lynn St. James, and you're all the way across the country, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona right now.
Tony Angelo, YouTuber, influencer, drifter.
One Point TV host.
Talking race cars, classic cars, movies, music, or just having fun. It's the Classic Auto Mall Show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. New arrivals this week. How about the 1956 Lincoln Continental Mark II?
Mm-hmm.
Cream white over deep red and white. 368 cubic inch four-barrel V8. This is a bad boy car back in the day. I mean, these things were they were the precursor to what we were just talking about.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The Mark III. Yeah. Which the cool guys had. Nicely restored this 56 Lincoln Continental Mark II. And I don't really think Lincoln Continental Mark II is the correct.
I think it's Continental Mark II. Yeah.
But everybody refers to it as Lincoln.
Lincoln Continental. Right.
I don't know if legally what that means or doesn't mean. So a plush, luxurious interior and the mid-century modern design. So I like that.
Well, as I mentioned in the, I did a TikTok on this one, and of course Elvis had one. So you know, right. You know, it's cool when Elvis had one.
Yeah. Elvis had all the
cars. It's one of his first purchases, actually.
He had that. He had a BMW 507.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of Cadillac Eldorados. Yeah, he had
some kind of Lamborghini,
like a Miura.
No, I forget that with Jalpa or
Halpa.
Yeah. One
Halpa.
One of those.
Halpa, Jalpa.
One of the small ones.
The Jalpa, but the J is silent.
I know. Even though it's Italian, not Spanish, but then
I got it. Yeah, Jalpa, Halpa, whatever. So, other new, arrivals. How about the 1967 Buick Skylark convertible? Apple red.
Mm-hmm.
Over black. They couldn't afford the candy apple? Or is that a variant of red?
I don't know. It's a variant.
That's a good question, though.
It is.
Isn't
it is.
Excellent question.
Right. There's bright red. There's about 100 different
reds. Candy. Yeah. Obviously. There's candy apple red. There's,
yep.
There's Firestorm. Or what is the brownish, bronzy looking?
Like a burnt orange?
Yeah. It's like a Firestorm.
Firethorn.
Firethorn. That's it. Very good. This 1967 Buick Skylark convertible is one of 6,319 built. 300 cubic inch two barrel V8. I didn't even know there was a 300 cubic inch.
Mm-hmm.
Buick had some odd engine sizes.
They did.
261s and 300.
Yeah,
a 301.
And 301s and just bizarre. So, the ST200 two speed automatic, top down fun and mid 60s cool.
Wrote that.
Yeah. I know. That's why I was being.
No, I didn't. Some of these you get off the abbreviations and I don't do those. I don't edit them. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So I'll stop giving you credit where credit is not due.
That's right.
Dadgum. See, I've been giving you all this credit.
See, anytime you see the word skate and hallowed halls,
you know that
that's not me.
That's not you. Yeah. So I'm going to have to rethink all this now.
Oh, really?
These accolades are going to have to be dialed back, and I'm going to have to even them out by unaccolading you.
I told you. I just want to be under the radar.
And what is the meaning of the skate?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I really don't know either.
I think it's like a hot rod term.
Yeah.
They used to call it
skate. It's a cool skate.
Oh, because it was open. It was a... open air car,
right?
Open wheel.
What it has to do with skate? I don't.
Oh, maybe roller skate. It looked like.
Yeah,
like a roller skate.
Like an open roller.
Skate. Remember those metal ones that you had to strap the leather strap on your foot?
And that's where
it would always come loose, and you'd always skin your knee.
Yeah, they had the little plastic ones too that you.
Yeah, they were. They were great.
Zippies.
Or how about the big wheels that had plastic wheels? So there was no stopping if you were running out into traffic.
Yeah.
Sliding sideways down your driveway.
No brakes.
Never roller skated. And I didn't learn to ice skate till I was 30 in LA. And, what about I wasn't very good at that either.
Did you have a big wheels?
I had big wheels. I was the king of the big wheels. I'll send you a picture. Randy. I was the king of the wheelies in my neighborhood.
You really got to pedal those things hard because you overcome the lack of traction on the wheels.
That's right.
That you can't warm up like a Formula One.
Handbrake.
I didn't have a handbrake.
Fancy ones had the handbrake later on.
You know, the most produced car in the world is the little Tykes thing. Yellow thing.
You ever see there's a full size one somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe at America on Wheels or something.
I think there is. That's Allentown. Our buddy, the Rosie brothers, who have, their place up there in Allentown are also running the, America's.
Oh, they are?
What is it called?
America on Wheels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance, go check it out and say hello to Al and Alex. They're great guys. I think Al's the one who's actually running. Alex is staying home at the shop, which is just across the street.
Yeah.
And it's called theirs is called the RB Collection.
RB.
Is the name of their place. And great guys. We've had them on the show before.
They were great.
The nicest guys you ever met. Like, every time you see them, they just, hey, Stuart, and hug you. And
yeah,
how
yeah,
are
they're
you?
Great.
So good to see you. And we love your show and
nice.
And all that nice stuff. So hello to Al and Alex, if you're listening. And, thanks for everything you do for the hobby. And thanks for, taking over that America's Museum, because it's important to keep those going. Keep them going. Because we don't want to lose our heritage.
They do some good stuff up there. In fact, they just had a Mustang exhibit.
That's right. I think one of our guys had a car up there.
Yep.
So, yeah, good for him. So, other new arrivals, the 2015 Chevrolet Camaro 2SS Coupe, black over black, a worked 6.2 liter V8. Mm-hmm. I kind of jumped when I said that.
Yeah, you see
worked.
That.
You see that?
You see it on YouTube.
Yeah. You see the twitching arm. I don't know what happened there.
It's amazing how many of these late model Camaros are modified.
Oh my God.
The horsepower.
It's got nitrous. It's got the limited slip axle, the 6-speed automatic. It's a sinister retro modern look.
Mm-hmm.
You write that?
I don't know. It depends on where you got it.
Don't know where I got it.
But
I got
it is a sinister.
Wherever I got getting things. So, it's, like I said, it was nitrous equipped, so you can really put the go juice to it if you need to.
That's right.
You know that I have driven lots of cars with nitrous, but I've never driven a car and engaged the nitrous.
Oh.
Have you?
No, never.
See?
Never.
You looked at me like you were going to, you know.
No, I don't. I don't. It's funny how these fast cars out of the factory, it's not fast enough for a lot of guys. They have to, like, I had a Grand National back in the day, and I had probably the only stock Grand National.
Everybody wanted it fast?
And there's just so many tweaks out there. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, just adding an exhaust system or adding
a chip, bigger turbo injectors. I mean, the sky's the limit. And I was I'm fine with how fast this car is.
It's like the fiberglass Cobra replicas. You know, a 302 is plenty of power for me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like a sissy, but it's plenty of power for me. And then you get these guys who are like, I'm going to stuff a 590 cubic inch mountain motor in that thing, and we're going to pump out about 1,200 horsepower, and it weighs 900 pounds.
Exactly.
So the power to weight ratio is when you floor it, the body just snaps in two.
Yeah. The need for speed is really
amazing.
Unique.
And some of these cars that we get in, I mean, literally, I'd say I can drive anything, but I don't know. There's some cars that come in here that I don't know that I could quite figure out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are going on that are kind of outside my realm, especially in these drag cars that we get.
Yeah, for sure.
Other new arrivals, the 1965 Lincoln Continental convertible, black over white, 94,000 actual miles, 430 cubic inch, 4-barrel V8, meticulous resto, and the Lincoln Drive automatic, which was, you know, they were branding transmissions back then, you know, they were calling them the Lincoln Drive.
Yeah,
like that was going to be smoother than
the Ford-O-Matic
and the Chrysler Power Glide,
Torque Flight,
Turbo Hydramatic.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long word for a term. Turbo Hydramatic.
That's why we abbreviated it.
TH, we like to say. And this Lincoln, the 65 Lincoln Continental convertible, knew everything. I mean, everything is just redone and new and really wonderfully done.
Mm.
Other new arrivals, the 1938 Packard 12 1607 series convertible coupe. I like long names. Packard ivory over black. One of possibly only 8 left in the world.
Wow.
Long-term ownership. 470. These had big motors too. 473 cubic inch L-headed V12.
V12.
3-speed synchro mesh manual, luxury and opulence, nicely restored and preserved. This thing is big.
Yeah, no, you
it's
need
sitting right there in our main showroom. When you walk in the door, you cannot miss it. It's on the right hand side. It looks almost Packard ivory is almost a yellow, kind of like the color of my shirt.
It is.
If you're on podcast, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you're on YouTube, where we like you to go, then you'll know exactly.
And subscribe.
Yeah, please subscribe. Everybody, please subscribe.
And hit the
Check
bell.
Your friends and ding, ding, ding.
The bell. Yeah, well, there are new uploads every day, I tell people.
There are new uploads every
day. Fantastic.
And then our show uploads every week, usually on, well, it's going to be Saturdays now.
Mm-hmm.
So every Saturday there should be a new Classic Auto Mall show, unless we've decided to take a week off.
That's right.
This is the closest I have to a bell.
That's what we like. Yeah. It's the ching, ching, ching. Down, 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 down. That's the cash register sound. Pink Floyd money.
That's right.
Yep.
That's the song. I knew there was a song related.
That was a long stretch for that. So how about, last but not least, the 1941 Hudson 6 Traveler 10T four-door club sedan. What a name.
That's a long one.
That's a long name. Brown and tan over tan. 43,000 actual miles, 212 cubic inch L-head inline six, three-speed with overdrive, nicely tended to, amazingly uncommon. What was uncommon when we were growing up and advertising that they said it was uncommon?
Oh, it's Keeblers.
Keeblers, right?
That's right, right, right. Commonly, what are they? Commonly uncommon?
Or? Commonly uncommon. Yeah. Or something to that effect.
Well, but before then, all the cars, you know, like the Model A, all those cars did look a lot alike.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Good job on the clock, by the way, Steve.
I know. I know. Watch the little one. I'm all over the place today.
You are really all over.
Oh, this guy's got you.
That guy's got you all wound up, doesn't he?
Beautiful Hudson.
That's got you all wound up.
Yeah.
So, you know, last week we were talking about the Mustang's 60th anniversary, and then we got to thinking about. So the parallel of this, the Mustang 60th anniversary, the Lamborghini Countach's 50th anniversary, those two cars 10 years apart were like night and day. Mm-hmm. They were like, talking to somebody, you know, I mean, a rotary dial telephone mm-hmm. to an iPhone in the difference that they are. And they were only 10 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mustang came out in 64 and the Lamborghini Countach was introduced in 74.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the amount of technology that changed between then and the Mustang coming out in the Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Of course, now, I mean, the stuff that's happened now is not even...
Off the charts.
Absolutely off the charts. And, you know, they reissued that Countach that we saw that was $2.5 million on Bring a Trailer or whatever. So how cool for that. You know, it's funny to see all of our hero cars when we were kids.
Yeah.
All of a sudden getting due.
Yeah, yeah, the remakes though for me don't do it. You know, like they redid the Di Tommaso Pantera.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same.
Not quite.
But the
same.
Countach was pretty cool. That one was pretty well done. I mean, a lot of them, you know, we say all the time on the show that there's a lot of the remakes that we like the Challenger
mm-hmm.
did a great job. The Charger, I don't quite get the four door thing.
Right, right.
I don't get the BMW M3 with four doors.
Mm-hmm.
That seems odd. I don't like the new Camaros as much as I like the new Mustangs or the new Challengers. Although the new ones are kind of cool looking, mm-hmm. especially if they're in the right color. And it's like anything, color and stance, we say all the time is important.
Have you seen any photos of the new Charger, the two door?
No, I have not.
I have not either.
Is that an electric? Is that one's going to be the one that's electric or is that the one? I don't remember. I know
I think
that
it is.
Yeah. The newest one, is supposed to be electric. Yeah. And then they're talking about combustion engines in the next one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they'll make a comeback.
They're going to have to because people are going to want to, they're going to want them.
Yeah.
So when we return, we'll continue our conversation here on the Classic Auto Mall Show. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
This is the show from the week. We say goodbye and thanks to America's Web Radio for 3 years of broadcasting. But remember, you can still find the Classic Auto Mall on YouTube at Classic Auto Mall and wherever you get your podcasts, including... Wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Deezer, Listen Notes, Pandora, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Index, Podchaser, Spotify, and of course, ClassicAutoMall.com.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years.
On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/delap. That's D-E-L-A-P-P. That's walkrun.stjude.org/delap. Thank you.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studios in Morgantown, Pennsylvania on a whatever day it happens to be whenever you're watching and listening. It's a beautiful sunny day here in fall. Beautiful, gorgeous day. And my Tennessee Volunteers, 6-1.
I heard.
Beat Florida and Alabama.
How about that?
They're not happy about it. And Alabamans ain't happy. And Florida boys ain't happy about it because Tennessee has not done too well. Our record against Florida or Alabama over the last 80 years is 60-20, 60 losses and 20 wins, something crazy like that.
And if anybody's listening from Alabama, we still love you.
Oh, we love you. We don't you for
you
know.
Don't you worry.
We'll sell
that.
You a car. Yeah, yes. Damn tootin', we'll sell you a car.
We have.
We have sold you a car. We sold quite a few cars to Alabama Tennessee.
Did you see the F1, U.S. F1 this weekend?
Did I?
I did not get a chance. What happened? Tell us. Recap.
Well, let me recap it. How about Ferrari was 1-2?
Ooh.
How cool is that? They're gaining on Max Verstappen. And, of course, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri and McLaren didn't have as good of a fairing as they did. Ended up being Ferrari, Verstappen. And then Lando was right off the podium fourth. So it was a pretty interesting race, and it was boring for the first half, and then it got exciting towards the end. But Ferrari at the American Grand Prix, or the Circuit of the Americas, they call it, which is in Austin, which we were going this year, but we didn't. I don't know.
So much going on.
ESPN College Game Day was at Texas. So
that's right.
And they showed the relationship of the racetrack to the
Not
college.
Very far apart. A busy weekend for that part of the world. Yeah. The hotels were like, we're going to charge let's just charge them $2,000. How about that a night? Mm-hmm. That sounds good. You know, they'll pay it. And they probably do.
They do.
And they've had some good concerts at COTA, the Circuit of the Americas track, on the Saturday night before the race. Last year was Billy Joel. The year before was somebody. I don't know who it was this year, but it's really looks like a fun thing to do. And we were definitely going this year. We were not going to miss it. And I can just procrastinate myself right out of traveling somewhere so easy anymore because the stuff I have to do takes up enough time. And when I get back, it's anarchy and chaos. And
Just think about it too late then? Or
well, I thought about it a year ago.
Yeah. But I mean, just recently, like, it's coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks. And so we did book our Monterey trip for
next year
in August. So
where are we staying?
Well, Steve, we're staying at Carmel by the Sea.
I'm not real picky. I don't have to have the ocean view.
And our nice black 28-foot aluminum trailer with a pillow and some that egg crate foam.
Yeah,
it does just fine.
I would do that.
Yeah, I would too.
You take your boat and just anchor it off.
Yeah,
I would be a little nervous to riding my boat around out there in the Pacific Ocean. It gets a little
choppy,
snarly out there. And it's like going in the Chesapeake Bay with your boat. That ain't just a little lake, you know. I mean, there's aircraft carriers that'll come past you and cruise ships, and they make a pretty good wake.
Yeah, apparently
they do. Even
so,
slow.
Speaking of the boat, we got. We did the math on how many times we went on our boat this year and what it cost us.
And you're selling it. Two happiest days.
The day you buy it, the day you sell it. Yeah. And we realized that we went out three times this year.
Okay.
And so the math is not very good. Well, the cost per use, or the CPU, as we call it in the business world, was a little off the charts.
But you got it late.
No, we got it late, and we're going to have fun with it. We've got everything that we need for it. We finally got the electric winch to winch up the trailer. Mm. So, you know, when you have to unhook it from the truck, you manually do that thing.
Wow.
It takes away a lot of the fun.
Mm-hmm.
The fun factor goes down to about a zero.
Wow.
And so I got an electric one that raises it and lowers
it. I didn't realize it was a hand crank.
Yeah, and it was tough. And I don't know if it was just one that was old and dilapidated, or if it was whatever.
Well, and if the boat's not floating enough, then you're just dragging it onto the trailer.
Well, no. I'm not talking about that crank. That's one thing. But okay. I'm talking about the one where you want to take it off the trailer hitch and you want to leave it off the trailer hitch. And so that one was a hand crank.
Yeah.
The one cranking it up is not too bad, but you really got to, when you put that boat on that trailer, it's heavy. And so you can't just go kind of halfway up and then hook it up and
right.
You got to jam that thing up there and you got to get it so it goes right into that V goes right into that
holder.
That holder right there. And then you only have to reel it a couple of times. So, but we got that. We got all the stuff that we need for it. So we're going to take some trips next year when the weather warms up and go up to Lake George in New York and maybe down south to some. So we're going to do some boating trips, but we're going to trailer it to wherever we're going.
Like Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, Winnipesaukee. Because you don't want to do the whole loop trip. And, you know, there's people that do that trip that goes up the Mississippi River and over the St. Lawrence and down through the, you know, it's a long way. Yeah. It's like a 6-month trip or something. So we're not looking for that because can you imagine if we were going for 6 months?
This place would.
Although,
might fall apart.
With computers and fax machines and stuff like that, we might be able to run it from a fur.
I have a friend that takes his to Marathon, Florida from Michigan.
Wow.
And every year, once a year, they go, or twice a year, they're going up and down the coast, taking it back and forth.
So they go Michigan over to the Atlantic Ocean and then down.
Yeah, the St. Lawrence Seaway and out, and then the Intercoastal Waterway most of the way, for more protected.
Yeah, the nice thing about the Intercoastal versus the open ocean is like you said, it's a little more protected. There's services out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other people out there.
Yeah.
You could end up out in the ocean and kind of by yourself.
Bye-bye.
See you. Now, I wonder what happened to Stuart and Kathy.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. So
Bermuda.
Yeah. The old triangle.
Yeah.
There was a book that came out about that when I was a kid. I read it. Scared me to death.
Right.
We're not flying to Florida, are we? We're not going to go over that Bermuda triangle thing, are we, Mom and Dad? Of course, what did they ever figure out about the Bermuda triangle?
I don't know. I read a book when I was a kid about Edgar Casey's book on Atlantis.
Right.
The whole world underneath the sea. And
that could have been it, right?
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy time. Atlantis.
So am I the only one seeing a Tesla truck about every 5 minutes on
the road? They are. You're starting to see.
They are everywhere.
Yeah, different colors.
And different colors. I saw a black one yesterday. Mm-hmm. I still don't like them, but.
No,
and I just saw a Polestar dealership at King of Prussia Mall. It's actually a closed bank. So there's no room for a car inside, I don't think.
That's odd.
And they've got like six cars outside.
Well, Tesla has a showroom inside the King of Prussia Mall, as does Porsche. Has a little boutique. And, and by the way, word to the wise, if you're going to have a Porsche boutique, have some Porsche stuff.
Yeah.
They have very limited, one T-shirt in extra small.
Mm-hmm. Next time you see Zach Brown, I mentioned.
Well, that's McLaren, but yeah.
Oh.
But thanks.
I'm sorry.
Same thing.
Thanks for playing.
I digress.
Yes, you do. But yeah, there's two dealerships there, but the Lord & Taylor store is still empty at King of Prussia, which I always thought would be a cool outlet for a classic automobile.
There you go.
Yeah.
Husband goes left.
Yeah.
Wife goes right.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's our satellite office.
It could
our
be our
satellite location.
Location. I mean, how cool would that be?
That would be cool.
That would be.
It's awfully close, though. It would be.
It is close.
It's almost too close.
Mm-hmm.
It would be logistically too. It's like moving three doors down in an apartment complex. It's harder than moving across
town.
It's true.
Oh, we did that.
Because it's a different mind. Oh, we'll just take a one thing at a time. And, on your 9,000th trip.
Yeah.
When I lived in Florida with my buddy, we had wicker furniture and we would be on the third floor. And when we moved, we would just throw it off the third floor. He'd just stand down there. He'd be the catcher.
That's smart.
I'm like, you catch. I'll throw. I'm good at the aim part.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. bam, you know.
That's funny.
Wicker furniture.
Yeah, we moved just across the hall to a larger apartment, and I told friends, well, we're moving again 30 feet.
Yeah, but it's literally easier to move across town than 30 feet because
you do it in one day.
You do it in one day, and you're in that, we're moving today. Uh-huh. Yep. And not when you're across the hall and you have 2 months to move.
Yeah,
exactly. All of a sudden, it's the last day, and you're like, you know, we still never have end. Everything big.
Maybe we should start.
Get the plates.
And, of course, the little stuff takes longer than the big stuff.
Yep.
You know, when you think you get the couch and the refrigerator and the, you know, armoire out, you're like, whoo, we're done. No, you're not even close to that. Not even close. Still got all that other crap. Mm. Kathy and I are purging in our house. We are just getting to the point where we're just like, okay.
With you. Yep.
So we brought a bunch of boxes. We have receipts from like 1990.
Right.
It's like, you know, that grocery receipts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I bought this steak back in 1979.
How much a pound was it then?
I don't even want to look at that. That's the rabbit hole I do not want to go down and look at the prices of that stuff because I saw a menu and I subscribed to newspapers.com, which is a cool site, and I saw a menu from 1989 and the steak and lobster at the fanciest restaurant, I may have said this, in Knoxville, Tennessee was like $16.99.
Oh.
Steak and lobster.
Wow.
You know, like filet and lobster. $16.99. That would be the mashed potatoes now.
Yeah.
You know, the boat of who needs that many mashed potatoes for heaven? And if you're on podcast, I am doing my hands like I'm cradling a baby.
Yeah.
It's a big old baby.
Isn't it?
I mean, how much mashed potatoes? Can I get a half order? I'm not trying to be cheap, but geez,
you remember when pizzas were like $6?
Yeah.
Suddenly they're $25.
Like, what the heck? So anyway, that's my
rant. We had a baked potato this weekend and Atlantic City was the size of a Kleenex box.
Oh, Kathy, you know, Garrett and I are huge baked potato fans. We have one at every meal, but she rolls her eyes. And even if she's not literally doing it, uh-huh. I can feel her rolling her eyes
right.
within my eyes. Uh-huh. And so some of these potatoes you get, we literally had those damn things in the microwave. They might be in there for 20 minutes in the microwave, which is supposed to be the fastest internal cooking place in the world. And these things take forever. Hmm. But by golly, when you pinch them open, they are steaming coming
yummy.
Out. They better. There's nothing worse than going to a restaurant. I don't know why I'm diverging.
Wow.
And getting a cool baked potato. Not hot, not warm, kind of lukewarmish. Mm. And the butter won't even melt in it. Oh. You can't mash it into the.
Well, ours was. We sent it back because it was like, eh.
Yeah. How do you mess that up? Come on.
Right.
It's like one cube of ice in your iced tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hence the name iced tea.
And why do they keep, my wife always has to have unsweetened iced tea, and they always ask, do you want sugar?
Right.
No.
Well, so, but there's a difference between sweet tea
mm-hmm.
and tea that you add sugar to.
Uh-huh.
It's not quite as sugary. Mm. For some reason, I don't, stop me, please, yeah. God.
Hey, this is a lifestyle show.
It's just segment four. It's like Friday.
Yeah.
Like, it's a casual Friday.
Yeah.
I got to kick our feet up.
That's right. You know.
But yeah, so anyway, I use sweet and low in my tea just for those of you keeping score at home.
Good to know.
So Michael Schumacher's last Ferrari F1 car is going up for sale, that he raced in 2006 and won 5 races in that car.
What's that cha-ching sound?
Yeah. And, that is, going RM Sotheby's, no estimate on the price, which means
if you have to ask, you can't buy.
Yeah. It means it's real, you know, call us for the estimate. Hey man, how much is that Ferrari? We can already tell that you can't afford it. And he was recently seen in public at a wedding mm-hmm. and he hadn't been seen since his ski accident.
Oh, really?
So, which has been, I don't know, 10, 12 years.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a long time that he has been, I don't know if he's bedridden or mm-hmm. just out of the public eye or whatever, but, it'll be interesting to see the last F1 car, the Ferrari F1 car. And it's really a good looking car and it's obviously red.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a pretty good color for Ferraris. Yeah, kind of like that one right there. Mm-hmm. That is actually, is that a Schumacher car?
Might be.
It might be. You know what's interesting, though, just talking about trucks and the Tesla truck, seemed to be a resurgence lately of the LM002 Lamborghini.
Oh.
We had one down at Radnor Hunt. Did that one actually show up? Did you remember seeing it? I don't remember.
No, I
don't. Radnor. I don't think
a couple
it
years ago,
for whatever reason. One. But I didn't realize this. They had the 5.2 liter Countach engine in them,
mm-hmm.
and Pirelli made special tires of Scorpions or something just for that unit.
Yeah.
And they only made 301 of these things. But mm-hmm. you could also order the 7.2 liter Marine
V12. Wow.
Which I would think, and of course the nickname of those was Rambo Lambo.
Rambo Lambo.
Rambo Lambo. So, And last but not least, the 2025 Chevrolet Corvette ZR1, 233 miles per hour at Papenburg, Germany, at the automotive ATP automotive testing, a record for a car. Now listen to this: that cost under $1 million. Huh. 5.5 liter twin turbo, double overhead cam, flat plane crank, 1,064 horsepower, 828 pound feet of torque. I'm always never confused if I get that right. Pound feet or
as Tim,
pound.
What's his name would say.
driven by GM president Mark Roos.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that? $180,000 to $205,000 is going to be the sticker. Good luck finding one at that price.
Yeah. Wow.
I guarantee you, you will not be getting one at the $180,000 to $205,000 mark. This thing's got more performance than million-dollar Ferraris and
incredible.
All that
incredible, yep.
So, anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on the Classic Auto Mall Show. See you then.
And thanks for stopping by.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by CarSmarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.